and welcome to 3 from the 7, Relics' weekly news podcast chronicling 3 of our biggest news stories from the past 7 days. My name is Rafaela Kenny-Sincada. I am the assistant editor at Relics Magazine. I am also your tour guide through the cosmos. And I'm joined by my pal, bassist extraordinaire, the coolest girl in New York City, Karina Reichman.
Oh, Raf. Hello.
I try to come up with different introductions every time, but I kind of fall on the same few.
You make me blush every time, Raf. It's all too much. It's all too much. How are you? What's going on?
I'm good. This is our 20th episode,
no.
Which is super cool. Our podcast can like almost drink.
One more episode. One more, and we're gonna toast to it, I think.
Crack some bottles
maybe.
Of André champagne.
I like that idea. No, I'll bring a bottle next time. It'll be great.
Let's do it.
I'm into that, I think. Let's do that.
It's like, yeah, come on down on a Monday or Tuesday, middle of the afternoon, and crack a bottle of champagne. My superiors will not look down on that at all.
Hey, if they give you a problem, tell them to come to me.
I'm going to be like... to editor-in-chief Mike Greenhouse, what was I supposed to do? Karina brought a bottle of champagne
like, Mike,
for our
21st
episode.
Mike, you leave Raph alone. HR, you leave Raph alone. Oh, it's fantastic.
Like, I don't think you and Karina should hang out anymore.
Yeah, I have bad influence
but
over
Dad.
Me. It's going to be great.
It's not a phase. 3 from the 7 is who I am.
All the news that comes out that afternoon is just misspelled and all fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
you know, it's great. No, Raph can hold it together. I've seen her hold it together. It's going to be great.
I know when to party and I know when not to party. And that's the key.
That is the key, Raph. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Teach me your way.
Etch that on my tombstone.
I'm just partying all the time, but, you know, in a sober and just, you know, naturally just raw dog in reality kind of way.
Oh, God, Karina.
Is that a thing?
It's true. For someone who has such a party ethos, you don't party that hard. I mean, you party, but you don't, like, party.
Yo, don't fuck with my...
That's true. I'm not trying to fuck with your brand.
My image.
Karina brushes her teeth with a bottle of Jack every
morning.
Oh, yeah,
no. I mean, no, like that? No. But I am high on life. Let me tell
you.
That's true. I don't need anything to get
me going.
Life's
the best drug of all.
Shit's really just... If you could see inside my head, Raph, it would be just these crazy-ass colors and, like, sometimes, like, some squiggles come down and I have to, like... figure out which squiggle I like the best.
I think that's called synesthesia.
It sure is. Call it what you will. Feels great to be me. Holy shit. Raph, let me tell you, before we even get started, I am so excited. And if you're listening to this podcast the day it comes out, which will be Wednesday, September 18th, it's a lucky, lucky day because that very same day, I will be performing with my solo band at the Brooklyn Bowl. And I couldn't be more excited. Really, we're dialing it in. Rehearsals, new tunes, covers, the whole nine. I don't know. It's just really, it's an exciting time. I love to create music with these guys. Adam November, Chris Corsico, that's my band. I'm so pumped to play. And looking forward to a really great show.
It's a BFD. It's a big freaking deal.
It's a BFD. Exactly. No, I'm super pumped on it, all bullshit aside. And I
do you remember being a youngin' and going into the Brooklyn Bowl and being like, could you even imagine one day gracing that stage with your own titular band by the name of Karina Reichman?
I actually could never imagine that. That's a very good point. I need to get more reflective, you know. I'm very upward and onward in my, you know, just inner workings of my brain, but if I did think back to that, no, I could never ever imagine that A, I'd have a namesake band of my own, let alone would I be playing my favorite stage, you know, and headline. It's crazy. So really excited to play.
So if you haven't gotten your tickets, tonight's the night.
Oh yeah,
go out,
just walk up, just walk up.
Just take a stroll over to the Brooklyn Bowl, pop your head in, see your girl Karina slay the stage.
It's going to be a blast. I'm really looking forward. And I don't know if I'm allowed to reveal this yet, but you know what? If you're listening on Wednesday, it's already going to be good to go. But my day before I perform is all kinds of crazy. Can I explain this to you? I am having a full day of Marco Benevento press the same day as my headlining debut at the Brooklyn Bowl with my own band. So what that means is 8 a.m. load-in, the earliest I has ever been awake, for a 9 a.m. live on-air performance at SiriusXM, followed by a live performance here at Relics, which I'm looking forward to.
Very cool.
And followed by a live performance over at Paste Magazine.
Jeez Louise.
So, you know, after all that, me and my beloved trusty tour manager slash front of house engineer, Julian Booker, will be hauling ass, as the kids say, to the Brooklyn Bowl and plugging everything in and hoping we have enough time to make it rain. But we will, because you know what? Everything always works out, right?
Yeah, after three gigs like that, you're just going to be loose as a goose.
I think it's
going to... Your bass is going to be, like, warm to the touch.
It's going to be great. Honestly, I think it's going to really pump me up in ways I can't even fathom right now.
I'm excited. I'm going to sell bootleg merch at the show.
Yes, as you should.
I've legitimately looked into it. Will you get mad if I make, like, a lot poster?
No, please make a lot poster. Oh, my God. I so encourage all of
this.
It'd
be mad funny.
Dude,
if I'm, like, literally standing outside the bowl, like...
Hustling Carino
merch? Prince.
Dude, I don't even want to see a cut of that. That's all you. That's the hustle.
No, I'll give you a cut, Carino.
Yeah, get in there. No, yeah, everybody, please buy stuff from Raf. I totally...
Well, you're selling your sweet latte too.
I am selling a latte.
I'm gonna be wearing. I have a latte. I'll be wearing it.
If you don't have the Carina Corona latte, now is
your
chance.
Are you even living?
Are you even on this planet, dude? Nah, just kidding. Just kidding. Anyway, it's gonna be fun, Raph. I look forward to it. Thank you for letting me take this moment to tell you how stoked I am for Wednesday.
Of course, it's gonna be huge. I'm very excited for you. And yeah, if you haven't bought tickets yet. Walk on up to the Brooklyn Bowl tonight, Wednesday. But like every week, we have news to talk about. So let's dive into our first story.
Let's do it.
Next Wednesday, September 25, Capitol Theater. They just announced it a few days ago. It will be called There's a Reward, a celebration of the life and music of Neil Casal. Rest in peace, Neil Casal of Circles Around the Sun and Chris Robinson Brotherhood. We lost him in late August. And this show, Carina, the lineup is absolutely stacked. It will be one of those shows where it is the center of the jam universe for that one night. Hit me with some of these acts.
Stellar. Chris Robinson Brotherhood, Circles Around the Sun, both of which Neil was a part of. Joe Russo with Dave Drywitz, Tom Hamilton and Scott Metzger, a.k.a. J-Rad minus my boss, Mr. Marco Benevento. Mapache, which, by the way, means raccoon in Spanish, in case you didn't know.
It's a fun fact.
Dave Schools, David A. Schools, yo, our purveyor of the low end in widespread panic.
WSMFP.
Citizen Cope, many, many more. And the show will benefit Music Care as an organization that provides a safety net of critical assistance for music people in times of need, which honestly couldn't be... a better cause. You know, I think it's tough being a musician kind of out here on your own. You know, you see people who work for companies and they're taken care of and they have health insurance and benefits and all kinds of this, you know, stuff. You're in like a safety net of sorts. But when you're a musician, you know, kind of you're almost like a lone wolf on your own, fending for yourself, making art and trying to live the best you can.
Yeah, and living a somewhat dangerous, risky lifestyle, you know?
And wearing your heart on your sleeve.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Presenting an artistic, you know, vision to the public. And, you know, everything is subjective, you know? People are going to like it. People aren't going to like it. So you have to live with that. It's a whole to-do, you know? And it's not easy. And it may look fun and easy, but which it is. Well, it's fun. But there are times that are certainly not fun, and there are times that are certainly, you know, trying on mind, body, and spirit. So this, we really appreciate Music Cares for existing at all, and this is a great, great cause. And once again, RIP Neil, it really doesn't even feel real still.
Are you going to be out on the road or are you going to be able to hit this show, you think?
You know, what's unfortunate is I have a gig, but it's a local gig. I am DJing between sets at Every Time I Die.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this last
boat.
Week.
Yes.
Craziness.
So, unfortunately, I'm tied up for that, but I wish I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where the gig life catches up to you and there's a thing that pops up. But, you know, I always say I'd rather be gigging than attending, but this is definitely one that I would love to be attending.
Very true. I will be there.
Raph will be there.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but I'm interviewing the guys from Circles Around the Sun before the show backstage.
Whoa, there you go.
Which is a great opportunity and obviously one I'm very thankful for. And I'm sure obviously they want to talk a lot about Neil and the legacy he's left behind. So I think it's going to be a heavy show, but I think it will be drenched in a hopeful feeling that all these people are getting together in a joyous sense of remembrance as opposed to mourning, which I think is what Neil would have wanted, I think.
I think so, too. What more can you ask for in terms of, you know, a tribute show? This is great. It goes to a great cause and, you know, all your friends and bandmates are there kind of making it happen for you. It's amazing.
I think it's going to be like a family reunion almost, because it's like I'm going to see a lot of people I haven't seen since Lock-In. A lot of the dudes in the bands are going to be excited to kind of put an arm around one another. So if you can... Once again, another great Wednesday gig in addition to Karina's this week. Next week, Wednesday, September 25, head on down to the Capitol Theater, or up to the Capitol Theater for people living in New York, and see a sweet gig. They got this awesome poster that's got a sweet J.A. Blakesburg photo on here, too.
It's a great one. It's definitely a great one.
It's going to be killer. But moving on to our second story of the week. It is Monday we're recording, so this just wrapped up last night. Green Sky Bluegrass, three nights at Red Rocks. Karina, hot take, what do you think?
Really smoking hot. Not to skip ahead to the Sunday night Billy Strings appearance, but super killing. And I'm not going to lie to you, Green Sky played Rift by Phish, as in
love it.
Shocked and persuaded my soul to ignite for the first time since 2013.
For a moment, your thoughts were adrift?
That's what I'm saying. And... you know.
Did you spy several glimpses beneath?
Oh, Raph, why don't you just do the whole tune, man? Let's just
I'm running through it quickly in my head, and I'm just trying to find snippets that I'm sure are right.
Oh, my God.
I'm usually just kind of mumbling along at the Phish show.
And my boy Raylan Baxter came out on Saturday night, and his appearance came midway through the first half, where he played his own imaginary man cut, Yellow Eyes, with Green Sky supplying vocals and musical accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
Super dope. Love Raylan Baxter. He's my boy. And the Little Smokies on Friday. Sorry, I'm working backwards, y'all, but, you know, it's kind of, I told you about my brain before, right? It's complicated. Fiddle player Jake Simpson on three tunes, followed by Midnight Moonlight encore for the full moon.
Yeah, Friday was Friday the 13th with a full moon.
That's why shit was so weird.
Yeah, I think they opened with In the Flesh or something crazy like that. But yeah, Friday night was weird just in general. How was your Friday? Did you do anything spooky for the Friday the 13th?
I'm trying to remember what happened. Where was I? What was happening? I don't even recall. Why not? Oh, no, that's not true. I saw Peter Frampton.
Oh, at the Garden.
I saw Peter Frampton at the Garden, followed by the boxing match that was taking place at the Theater of the Garden afterwards.
Oh, wow.
Which was a real 1-2 punch, I must say, and shit was really weird. And I had never experienced walking out of MSG and then back in.
Yeah, just taking a quick U-turn.
To the theater at the Garden. Nobody believed that I was there for the thing, but I was like, yo, we're here for the thing. Let's
about
go.
About the boxing?
Yeah.
Because you were just like in like hot tops and jeans.
Yeah, well, because I look like me and I'm like, what's up? Time for the
You're like
shit.
Ringside seats for Karina
Reichman. Like, I don't know shit about what's about to happen, but I'm good to go for
the
it.
The guy punched the other guy? And
he did and
back.
Knocked him out and they called him the fourth round.
Oh, wow.
For all you people who actually pay attention to boxing out there, let me try and remember the name of this dude. He's like a young hotshot dude, 20 years old. Haney? Ramey?
You're looking Haney? At me like I actually like I know who any of these people
all right,
are.
Well, this dude was crushing it. Let me tell you, the other dude was.
And he beat the other dude.
Yeah, well, they called it in the fourth round. The ref did because he was.
Was
like,
it a TKO?
It was a old oh shit. This gentleman cannot continue because we think that Skillet over here fractured the other dude's face.
Whoa,
yo. So that's
just
why they called
it. Just some classy entertainment in New York City.
Absolutely. I'm so sorry for this divergence. What did you do on Friday night? How was your full moon?
My full moon was a bit bizarre. I went and saw the Nth Power, which was very good. Jen Hartswick and Nick Casarino opening in their duo format.
Killing it.
Followed by the Nth Power at the wonderful Music Hall of Williamsburg. But then I misplayed my hand and decided to go deep into Bushwick. And I still reside on the wonderful 51st state of Long Island. So I ended up in Bushwick, not near a subway, at like 2:00 in the morning. And then I had to just really lay my cards on the table and pay for an Uber from Brooklyn to my home on Long Island, which was like $100.
You should have got a hotel
like,
room.
Oh, Lord. Honestly, a hotel probably would have been cheaper.
And more fun.
I woke exactly. Just like a random hotel in Bushwick. What could go wrong?
Karina, we're getting room service. Let's go. Right? I would have showed up. No problem.
Yeah, I woke up the next day in my bed on Long Island saying, I regret nothing, but also I regret everything.
I understand.
Because it hurt my bank account.
Well, you had more of a... full moon fever kind of night.
I think it was the full moon making me act crazy, because what I should have really done was just gone home after the show. But I was persuaded to take like multiple Ubers to this place and then meet up with our mutual friend Ricky Blakesburg.
It's always Ricky's fault,
right? It was like,
Ricky. You were a bad influence.
It was Ricky and a couple other people we're friends with, and we all met up and hung out at a bar. And then I was like, "What am I doing here?"
Oh, Raph.
What am I doing? I wasn't even going that crazy. I was like casually hanging out. But then I was like, "Ah, it's late, Jesus."
It really happens to the best of us. And Friday the 13th with the full moon. I mean, honestly, it's a good thing that
I could have turned into a werewolf. So there were worse ways it could have gone.
Definite worse ways it could have gone for you and for me. I just saw rounds of boxing. Exactly. It was great.
So in those boxing matches, not to completely divert off, in those boxing matches, someone gets knocked out on the first punch and they're just like, all right, thanks everybody,
called
go home.
Done.
People pay thousands of dollars for the chance to see one punch?
Yeah. Well, dude, it's like, straight up, I said this the other night, because I don't know anything about boxing, but my friend and lover, Johnny Beach, does. And I was saying to Johnny, I was like, I'm going to write a book about how baseball, fish, and boxing are all cut from the same cloth. And you know why, Raph?
Why?
Tell me if I'm getting too deep and we can cut myself off. But because, in baseball, you wait around for something to happen, but it's slow paced.
True.
And we're all like pensively like, okay, let's get a hit. And then when you get a hit and some crazy shit goes down, people are bugging out. Same with boxing, and honestly, unlike the WWE, where it's just like kind of crazy shit going on the whole time, in boxing, it's this slow paced thing where they're feeling each other out in the first round usually. And, they're kind of just like working up to, going balls out with this shit. And then when something crazy happens, everybody is like, oh, shit. That is crazy. Anyway, so if there's a first round knockout, that's just like boom, peak too soon, but still you're stoked on it because you're whoa, huh? And then fish, all of our listeners know what I'm trying to say about
it's all
that.
About tension and release. I feel what you're putting down. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's kind of my take on it. And let me know if there are any publishers listening and I could send you my copy of my first draft for the book. I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah. I'm sure there's gotta be some way to tie those three things together.
I think it's a real, improvisation in life and art, and in the sporting world too, which is an interesting, way of thinking about it, because sports are just, it's a whole other thing, almost a different entity. But there's this thing about patience with all of this, and seeing like things develop and build, and they're not just like boom, hit them with the shit right up front. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes the boxing thing goes all 12 rounds. Sometimes it doesn't. But you see an escalation.
Sometimes you don't get the yem till the encore.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, that's my metaphysical take for you this week, Raph.
I'll take it. Thank you. I appreciate that.
My pleasure. Happy full moon. Glad
Happy
it's over.
Happy full moon. Green Sky killed it. Three nights at Red Rocks.
Nailed
wonderful
it.
Wonderful stuff. That's Smokies, Baxter, Billy Strings. Wonderful stuff.
I wish we were there.
I wish I was there too. I gotta one of these days just get on out to Red Rocks and just see all the shows forever.
Maybe that's far. A good idea.
It's far from New York. What can I say?
It's definitely not an Amtrak ride. Actually, maybe it is.
Yeah, you could do like a cross-country train ride. I feel like I'd just get sick of that though.
Oh, there's no that.
I'd be like in Chicago and I'd be like, are we there yet? Like,
literally, you couldn't. Yeah, no. We would fly. Let's fly. We'll do it. Anyway.
Fly.
Ladies and gentlemen, story number three. Mike Gordon announces 2020 tour dates.
So I have a really funny story about this.
Talk to me.
So we kind of like at Relics get like whispers of maybe big announces, like, hey, I think maybe Dead & Co is announcing tour tomorrow, or hey, maybe Fish is announcing whatever. So the day this got announced last week, I kind of had a whisper in my ear from someone being like, Fish is going to announce New Year's today at 2:00. So I'm like, all right, like I got the story kind of like pre-written, like assuming they'll be at Madison Square Garden. And I'm like refreshing the Fish website. It's like 158, 159. I'm like, all right, New Year's announced. Let's go. Like, even for myself being like, all right, like, let's get the finances in order. Maybe get my ticket orders figured out. Let's do this. 201, I refresh. Mike Gordon solo dates.
So close.
So close. I love Gordo. I love his solo project. Scott Murawski's the man, but it was definitely a little bit of air out of my hot balloon.
That's hilarious.
Where I was just like, oh, okay, just scrap this story about Fish New Year's, wishful thinking, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, you know, highlight and delete that whole paragraph and save it for maybe, hopefully, next week.
Yeah, and then on top of it, no, not even a New York City date from Mike Gordon.
That's true. That's true. You just totally got deflated there.
I did.
Well, let's read these out. Let's read these out. Or maybe not all of them. But no, we got to read all of them. Okay. Are you guys ready? I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do it with style and finesse. All right.
Just boxed me out from the laptop.
Yeah. Watch out.
She's like, watch out, Raph. I'm going to read these dates.
January 17th, State Theater, Ithaca, New York. January 18th, Danforth Music Hall, Toronto. January 19th, Mr. Small's Theater, Millvale, Pennsylvania. Right. Cool. January 20th, Newport Music Hall in Columbus, Ohio. January 22nd, the Talia Hall in Chicago. January 23rd, 20th Century Theater in Cincinnati. January 24th, Del Mar Hall, St. Louis. January 25th, Majestic Theater in Madison. January 26th, Varsity Theater, Minneapolis. January 28th, Boulder Theater. January 29th, the Commonwealth Room in Salt Lake City, Utah. January 31, Crystal Ballroom, Portland, Oregon, as in got the crystal ball, all's got the crystal ball. All right, February 1st, the Showbox, Seattle, Washington, boom! Felt great. Anyway, I hope to see you all at those shows. Just kidding. I mean,
it's a pretty grueling schedule for Gordo. I'm surprised.
That's a lot going on for sure. And not many days off at all.
Yeah. Like he's got a day or two maybe in there.
Crazy. I'm a big fan of the Mike Gordon solo band. We always have so much fun when we're paired, like oftentimes Marco band and Mike band, like on festivals or whatever, like we'll be kind of paired next to each other or what, you know, whatnot. And it's just like such a love fest between band and crew, and you know what I mean, like we all have our counterparts kind of. And
yeah, I've seen cute pictures of Marco and Mike goofing around backstage.
Yeah, it's super super fun. So, you know, great dudes. We love Johnny Kimmock on the drums, one of my favorite drummers drumming, honestly. Shout out to my boy Johnny Kimmock, JK. And this looks like a really fun tour, Raph. I hope y'all get your tickets for Mike tour, y'all.
Yeah, Mike tour. Do it up.
Boom.
I'm sad. No New York dates, but
yeah, me too. It's fine. I would have liked that. Brooklyn Steel last time around was very fun.
I think I was at that show. It was like a year or two ago, right?
It was like March 2018.
Yeah, they were still doing the reel. They put the reel in the crowd.
The reel was in effect, I believe. Yes.
Cool. Yeah, I was there. It was fun. It was fun.
Good time.
A dude next to me passed out, but that's another story.
What did you do to that man?
It was a stranger. Oh. And I was a babysitter, so I go into hospitality babysitter mode where I'm literally just like, you go get a bartender, you give this guy some water. And I was just like, Jesus Christ.
Aww.
I try to go out. These people find me. I don't know.
They find you.
They find me.
I just be like, peace later. Sorry.
Right.
That's why you complete me, Raph.
That's true. The yin to your yang, Karina.
It's a beautiful thing.
The what's his name? Howard Stern, and
Bill,
I'm the other
no,
one.
No, I'm Bill Walton, and you're Dave Patch.
Yes, that is the best one.
And you are Robin, and I'm Stern.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
I'll take it.
As long as you'll take that, are you happy with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I haven't listened to that much Stern. I just know Robin's really nice.
Robin's the shit. We love Robin.
Yeah,
honestly,
she like is the tepid force, like to calm down Howard Stern.
It's really true, and.
And you never know what Howard's going to say. And Karina, I never know what you're going to say.
Was raw dogging reality too much earlier today? Was that too much?
Karina, my mother listens to this show. Come on.
God, Lisa. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
It's okay. She'll be at your gig on Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Yo, straight up, all the moms are coming in hot.
Oh, yeah. It's a mom force.
I'm mom friendly and dad friendly. Not going to lie to you, but it just seems to
the
be.
The parents love Karina.
Yeah, I'm in for it. I'm in. They hate, you know. Just my demographic, like between 50 and 70, Upper West Side.
Those are the fans you need, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Love all of you.
They got money to spare. They got money to burn.
I'm in love with all of you. I cannot wait to see you there. Moms, dads, your dentists, your psychotherapists, you know, whoever. They're all good to go.
Well, speaking of our fans, in lieu of a weekly shout out this week to celebrate our 20th episode, we're going to do some listener mail. People send us emails, Raph and Karina. @gmail.com.
Ooh.
And we got some good stuff. Our boy Ian Eisenberg, hit us up. Me and Karina talked about going to the WWE last week, which was an absolutely fantastic time. Karina, thank you again for that.
Oh, my pleasure.
So in last week's episode, we spoke a little bit about WWE and Fish and all that good stuff. So Ian says, I'm a big fan of both the jam scene and the WWE. You might have inspired me to start a wrestling fans, P-H-A-N-S, group on Facebook. What would be awesome to hear on next Three from the Seven is your thoughts on the Firefly Funhouse. So first of all, wrestling fans group, I'm in. Make me an administrator. Let's do this. Second of all, Karina, they did a Firefly Funhouse when we were at WWE Raw. This is getting a little too in the weeds of WWE
fanhood. Was that
fanhood.
That weird shit with the dude who's all tripped out? Yo, that shit is dope.
It's like an evil, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's like an evil Mr. Rogers character, and this guy, Bray Wyatt, basically has like a Jekyll and Hyde thing where his good persona is like an evil Mr. Rogers called the Firefly Funhouse. You liked it. It was cool.
Oh, like straight up. That is amazing. That was the best part almost. I mean, that it was trippy and weird and I loved it. That was great.
That's one of the things that got me into it where I was like, ooh, this is delightfully dark.
This is strange. Yeah, I am about that. But of course, I defer to you on all things wrestling, Raph. I'm just an innocent bystander here.
Yeah.
You, Raph and her family know every plot point, everything that's going on. It was incredible to see for all you listeners being like, oh, I wonder what Raph's like off the air. She goes hard for this shit.
I do.
And
I
it is it. Awesome. It was so fun. I really enjoyed it. I couldn't, you know, tell you anything about it other than
we were standing next to each other when Stone Cold Steve Austin came out on stage and Karina, like, I like was losing it. And I multiple times like had to like stifle my excitement because I was like, Raph, you're with Karina. Like, you gotta be cool, man.
Come
like,
on.
I was like screaming and I was like, oh, wait, hold on. She's like, yeah, that's Stone Cold Karina. He's pretty cool. He's only like a legend.
I love it. No, honestly, I'm all in. We saw Mr. Rey Mysterio. Wow.
That was cool.
This episode has a lot of wrestling and boxing in it.
It
Look
does.
At us. Wow. Ian Eisenberg, my man. That's the gentleman who wrote the question.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't remember, back to 3 minutes ago. I like the wrestling fans group idea, and I think if you don't have Raph as the administrator, you're sleeping. You're just sleeping.
You're snoozing.
She's got
it.
The best of both worlds, the fish and the wrestling. What more could you want?
I got nothing but time, and the two things I waste a lot of my time on these days are wrestling and fish. So thanks for writing, Ian.
Bottom line, Firefly Funhouse is awesome. I'm all into that shit. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, you should Google it because it was weird. And
it's
I liked
pretty
it.
Lit. Yeah.
Definitely.
Moving on to our second listener mail of the week. Mr. Bill Spindler, with the subject line Billy Strings, said, I just listened to the latest podcast, being last week's, and I totally agree that Billy Strings is competent. Which, if you listened last week, Karina called someone competent as a compliment, which
well,
it was.
We had a running joke.
It's an inside joke, you guys. The only question is, how much higher will Billy soar? I've seen him at least 10 times, most recently in Grand Junction, Colorado, and I got to meet him at the Bender Jamboree this April. And at this moment, I'm 3 miles from Red Rocks, where he will take the stage in 2+ hours. So Bill must have been gone his way to that Green Sky show, where Billy eventually, as we mentioned earlier, sat in with Green Sky.
Look at that.
So yeah, Bill, we agree. Billy's pretty tight. He just announced his New Year's run today, I believe in Michigan. And yeah, cool. Yeah, more Billy, more everything. I'm behind it.
I'm all in. Bill, you have extremely dope Billy String stats. And I'd like to I wonder who's seen over 11 Billy Strings shows, because this guy now, like counting the Red Rocks situation, that's a lot. That's a lot for a young artist who's like, you know, paving their way. It's not like he's been around for 20 years doing the thing. He's been quite literally alive for 20 years. I really do think the sky's the limit for that kid, and I think he's beyond competent, ridiculously talented, and he's completely breathing new life into a genre that, you know, needs a little bit of youthful, you know, nuanced energy all up in it. You know, he's really kind of making his own way and taking a older style, if you will, and making it his own, making it new. He's unbelievably talented. And
Jamgrass is for the children.
It's for the children, man. Let's go. I'm all in for Billy, man. I think he's, this is just the beginning for him.
Yeah. Well, you said this. Our boy Bill Spindler here, who wrote in, has got some crazy Billy Strings stats. Karina, do you have any super fans that, like, who's been to the most Karina shows other than you and your band?
Oh, there are a couple. Well, I mean, other than like my friends, like my close friends who are very supportive and lovely, shout out to all you guys. Thank you so much. There are a couple who stand in the front row and wear like the Karina Corona shirt.
Really?
And the We're Using Time for Fun's, you know, shirts and stuff that I've seen like at every festival appearance that I've made this summer.
That's
which
ill.
Is crazy. And like, yeah, they come to like in the Northeast, they literally almost every Marco show, all my gigs, like front row at Krungbin. I don't know these two gentlemen's names, but there are two dudes who like one's repping the We're Using Time for Fun shirt, who I recognize every time, and the other is wearing the Karina Corona shirt, which I recognize every time. So
you got rail riders, girl.
Y'all have some dece stats. That's where D stands for decent. Just kidding. Probably really good.
I got to up my stats, man. I was at the Rough Trade show, which was important.
Strong.
And sick.
Strong.
And I've seen you with Marco a number of times. Before I even knew you, I saw you with Marco.
Right. I think my friend Isaac has, you know, near perfect stats, though he was not at the, you know, the gigs that were out of town. Because how can you? Anyway.
What a bad friend.
Bad. No, I'm just kidding. Love you, Isaac. Anyway, we'll see who weathers the storm.
Let's yeah, and we will see all of you listening tonight at the Brooklyn Bowl.
Boom. That's
Karina's
it.
Headlining debut at New York's best venue, the Bowl.
It's so true.
Come on down.
Oh, eat some good food.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go for dinner. Get some fried chicken.
It's a beautiful idea.
It's a beautiful
idea. I'll eat dinner there too. That's what's going on.
Come on down, man. I'll save you a seat.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Is there anything you'd like to say as we come to the end of our road here, Karina?
We've covered a lot of ground today, Rob.
Today has been maybe one of the most far-reaching episodes. Did we even talk about music?
Yeah.
Who's to say?
Am I Ron Burgundy? I'm not sure, but this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, anytime.
Do you have any parting words, parting thoughts? What do you got?
Don't forget to sign up for the Relics Daily 7, our free email newsletter at relics.com/daily. And for the love of God, subscribe to Relics Magazine. It's the best magazine on the face of this planet and any other planet in this solar system. Relics.com/VitaBlue, VIDABLUE. And you'll get $5 off your subscription, $20 for a year. God. Come on, that's the cost of a friggin' cappuccino in this city.
What a steal.
What
a sandwiches that cost that much.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Unbelievable.
And if you want to be part of our, you know, sporadic listener mail section, email us at rafandkarina@gmail.com, rafandkarina@gmail.com. And that's about it, Karina. Final words, parting thoughts.
I love you all. Thank you for listening. This has been wonderful. See you tonight at the Brooklyn Bowl. You later.